Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today, well, it's pretty clear-cut. We're taking the October 2025 Sensations magazine and basically giving you a high-speed tour, a curated rundown, you know, focusing on the essential dates, what you need to do, and what not to miss in Sun City Hilton Head this month.
That's right. We're really treating the magazine like, well, like an operational guide for October. It tells you what's happening, sure, but it also gives some real insight into where the community is heading. And October, it's definitely a big one. The magazine really highlights two major things happening side by side.
Okay, what are those?
Well, first, you've got the final run-up to the 2025 community election that's all about governance, the future direction. And second, the huge 30th anniversary celebration week is calling it Life Under the Sun. Big party.
So serious business and serious fun.
Yeah.
All packed into one month.
Got it. We'll walk you through the key details, but just a reminder up front. For the absolute nitty-gritty, buying tickets, getting applications, yeah, you'll still need the print magazine, Sensations, or probably easier, the community website. That's www.suncityhiltonhead.org.
Right. Always the main source.
Definitely. So let's maybe unpack this, starting with the election stuff. There are some deadlines coming up fast.
Good idea. Let's dive straight into that. Okay, the election. It feels like the administrative heart of the month, doesn't it? Resident participation is obviously key. And yeah, some dates you really can't ignore. This isn't a small election either. We're talking one open board of directors spot the BOD plus neighborhood reps, NRs, and alternate neighborhood reps, ANRs, in, what was it, 35 neighborhoods?
Exactly, 35 specific neighborhoods listed in the magazine. And what's really crucial this year, something they're emphasizing, is the voting itself, the voting period, November 3rd to 7th. It's going entirely electronic.
Ah, okay, so no paper ballots.
None at all. They're really stressing that. It seems like a move towards, you know, efficiency and maybe tighter security with the results. It fits a pattern we see elsewhere.
Makes sense. But before we even get to November voting, there are October deadlines, action items, really.
Yes, absolutely critical ones. First up, and this is especially for newer residents, October 3rd. That's the absolute cutoff. If you've moved here recently, you need to be registered with Resident Services by that date to be eligible to vote in November.
Right, because there's always that processing time. You can't just show up on voting day if you're brand new, miss October 3rd, and you miss this cycle.
Precisely. Then, for folks thinking about running themselves, representing their neighbors, the applications for neighborhood rep and alternate neighborhood rep are due by Wednesday, October 8th at 3 p.m. You have to get those into Resident Services in Palmetto Commons.
And those NR and ANR roles, they're pretty important at the grassroots level, aren't they? That's the direct link between residents and the association.
Very much so. The NR is the actual voting member for that neighborhood in the community association. They carry the weight of their area's voice. The ANR, the alternate, they step in if the NR can't make it. Ensures continuity, you know. Every neighborhood should always have representation.
Okay, so applications are due October 8th. Then what?
Then, assuming the applications are all in order, active campaigning for those NR and ANR spots officially kicks off on Monday, October 13th. It's a quick turnaround.
Wow, yeah, that is tight. So if you're thinking about it, you need to decide and act basically now.
Pretty much. And looking ahead just a bit to the actual voting week in November, while it's mostly electronic from home, they are offering some in-person help. Kiosk voting at Palmetto Commons.
What are those?
Two dates. Thursday, November 6th from 9 to 11 a.m. and then Friday, November 7th, they have two slots. 9 to 11 a.m. again and 2 to 4 p.m.
Good to know there's help available.
And tying this back to the neighborhood election specifically, there's a critical rule. You need a 20% quorum. That means at least a fifth of the registered voters in that specific neighborhood have to actually cast a ballot.
20%. What happens if a neighborhood doesn't hit that?
Well, essentially, their election isn't validated. The board might have to appoint someone instead of the residents choosing. So every single vote really does count, especially at that neighborhood level.
Okay, good point. And the final results for everything, the board position, all the NRs and ANRs.
They'll be announced at the annual membership meeting that's scheduled for Wednesday, November 12th at 1 p.m. over at Magnolia Hall.
And that meeting's important for other reasons too, right? Like the budget.
Yes, exactly. That's also when they'll present the proposed 2026 budget and the annual homeowner assessment numbers. So, a big meeting.
Definitely want to attend if you can.
Okay, let's pivot to the candidates. The single open board of director seat, four candidates running, the magazine gives summaries. It feels like a really experienced group overall. It really does. Looking at the slate, you see a clear focus on, well, pretty high level management and fiscal responsibility, Different flavors of it, though. First, there's Greg Card. He's been a resident for 7 years. Lots of volunteer work already. Couples Golf president, NR for Mariners Cove for 3 years.
So involved in the community. But his professional background sounds like the core of his pitch.
Seems that way. Over 30 years in operational leadership, even president and CEO of a decent-sized company, $50 million. Mechanical engineering degree from Purdue. He's really emphasizing strategic planning, strong financial oversight. He specifically mentions income statements, balance sheets, and, interestingly, improving customer service from the association. A real corporate management angle.
Okay, corporate leadership focus. Who's next?
Joseph Passament. His background is heavily weighted towards governance, both inside and outside Sun City. Within the community, back between 2015 and 2018, he was deep in the committee structure. Secretary, Vice Chair of the Government, and Business Affairs Committee, the GBA.
That's the committee dealing with external government stuff, right? Beaufort County, state level.
Exactly. Crucial link. And he was also chair and vice chair of the finance committee, so he knows the internal finances and external relationships. But then outside Sun City, his experience is, frankly, quite extensive. He served on the Beaufort County Council from 2018, including chairman from 2020 to 2024.
Wow, council chairman. That's significant public administration experience.
It is. Plus, the SC Association of Counties Board. His professional background before all that was actually in education, teaching, business, and math. Then 22 years as a school business administrator, got his degrees from University at Buffalo. So a deep understanding of public sector finance and politics.
Very different profile from Cardin.
Okay.
Okay, third candidate.
That's Jim Pierce. He's been here since 2012, and his focus is really specific. Representing the managed neighborhoods and villas, he was the alternate NR for Summer Place Village for 10 years, so long-term involvement there.
And managed neighborhoods, they do have distinct issues sometimes, don't they? Landscaping contracts, specific maintenance needs.
Precisely. It's a different set of operational concerns. Professionally, Jim was a systems analyst and an independent consultant. Worked with big names like H.J. Heinz, Federated Investors. His stated goal is to bring that systems thinking to the board. You know, review processes, document problems, look for efficiencies. Very analytical approach.
Systems analysis for community operations.
Okay.
And the fourth candidate.
Marcia Schroeder. She's an 8-year resident, retired sales executive, over 40 years in management, sales, marketing. Her background seems focused on engagement, maybe conflict resolution from managing big teams.
And her volunteer work here bridges a few areas.
Yeah, it does. 6 years as NR or ANR, so she knows that role. 6 years with the newcomers welcoming group, that's engagement. And 3 years on the SCHH Golf Club board. But maybe the most relevant piece is she's previously president of two different townhome associations before moving here.
Ah, so direct HOA management experience.
Love it.
Dealing with budgets, residents, maintenance in that specific context.
Exactly. Hands-on experience with the kinds of challenges HOAs face. So when you look at all four.
Yeah, it's quite a range. Corporate management, county-level governance, specific property type representation, and systems analysis HOA management.
It really suggests the community's priorities, or at least the candidate's perceived priorities, are around financial health, efficient operations, dealing with external government, and maybe ensuring different property types feel well represented, all leading into that 2026 assessment discussion, probably.
So residents have some serious thinking to do. How can they learn more directly from these candidates? Town halls.
Yes, absolutely crucial. Two dates scheduled for residents to meet the BOD candidates. They're both at Pinckney Hall in the Edisto River Room. First one is Monday, October 20th at 6 p.m. That's an evening session. And the second is Wednesday, October 22nd at 10 a.m., a morning option.
Good. Covers different schedules. Attending one seems pretty essential if you want to make an informed vote.
Highly recommended. And just to wrap the election section, all the detailed instructions, the full candidate bios, the NRANR applications, it's all online. Go to the community website, log in, click Resident Central, then Governance, then Sun City Election. Everything you need is there.
Okay. Get informed. Check those deadlines, especially October 3rd and 8th. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's shift gears completely from governance to celebration.
Right. A total change of pace. But, you know, it kind of makes sense. Having that solid governance structure we just talked about is probably what allows the community to pull off something this big. October marks the culmination of the 30th anniversary stuff. It's the 5th annual Life Under the Sun Festival, a whole week, October 4th through the 10th.
A full week of events. That sounds ambitious. How does it kick off?
It starts big right away on Saturday, October 4th. Two main events that day. First, the Chartered Club Fair. That runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's spread out Pinckney Hall, the courtyard, the pavilion. It's huge.
How many clubs participate?
The magazine says over 90 chartered clubs and registered community groups will be there. And it's worth understanding that distinction, you know. Chartered clubs have more formal structure, budgets, oversight. Registered groups might be smaller, more informal interest groups.
So this fair is basically the place to see everything the community offers in terms of activities.
Absolutely. It's been going for 26 years. It's the main recruitment event, the place to network, find your niche, whether you're new or have been here ages. It's free to wander around, grab some food or drinks for purchase.
Okay, 10 till 1 on Saturday for the club fair. What's next that day?
Then the party really starts. A free kickoff concert from 4 to 6 p.m. It's at the Okady Creek Driving Range. And they've got Diaz Guys playing, always a huge draw.
Well, yeah, people love Diaz Guys. Free concert, driving range. What's the setup?
Pretty relaxed. Bring your own chair is the main thing. No seating provided. It's free. One small logistical note. If you want to bring your own picnic or food, you can't bring it onto the range until 3 p.m. So plan accordingly if you're making an afternoon of it.
Good tip. Bring a chair. Food after 3. Got it. So that's the big Saturday kickoff. What about the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, October 6th through 10th, is packed with free events too, focusing on lifestyle, wellness, golf. On Monday, October 6th at 4 p.m., Golf Operations is putting on a golf exhibition at the Hidden Cypress Driving Range.
Exhibition. Like watching pros.
Sort of. It sounds more like fun and accessible tips. Professionals will be there giving advice, answering questions. But the magazine actually says showcasing laugh-inducing moments.
So not taking it too seriously. More about enjoying the game as part of the lifestyle.
Exactly. Making golf seem approachable. There's a cash bar, and again, bring your own chair if you want to sit comfortably.
Okay. What about the wellness side?
Two sunrise yoga sessions offered by the health and wellness folks, both at 7:30 a.m. First one is Monday, October 6th, behind River Bend Lodge. The second is Sunday, October 10th, also at River Bend Lodge. Standard yoga advice applies. Bring your mat, water, maybe some bug spray since it's outdoors early morning.
Nice way to start the day. Any evening activities during the week?
Yep. Lifestyle Services is hosting several courtyard cocktails events. Basically, cash bar happy hours with live music. Monday, October 6th and Tuesday, October 7th, those are 5 to 7 p.m. at the Town Square Courtyard. And then there's one on Friday, October 9th, but it's earlier, 1 to 3 p.m. over at the Pavilion. Good casual social time.
Seems like they're spreading the events around different locations, too.
They are, and that includes the pools. Two free pool parties planned, both 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday, October 6th, is at the Hidden Cypress Pool. And Wednesday, October 8th, is at the Lake House Outdoor Pool. They're promising refreshments, entertainment, some giveaways. Probably trying to squeeze in that last bit of pool season fun.
Makes sense for early October. Anything else midweek?
One more. A morning walk organized by Health and Wellness. That's Thursday, October 9th, from 9 to 11 a.m., starting from the Lake House Pavilion. Just a nice group activity, get some steps in.
Okay, so a really packed week of free activities. Now, this 30th anniversary theme, the magazine mentioned something about the community's history. The Barrel Landing Club.
Yes. That's a great piece connecting the celebration back to the very beginning. The Barrel Landing Club, it's basically the first 100 residents. The pioneers who bought and moved in right when Sun City opened back in 1995.
The first 100, wow. And the name Barrel Landing.
It comes from the restored Barrel Landing schoolhouse on the property. That building itself dates back to the late 1800s, and Del Webb restored it in 95. So the name links the new community to the area's older history.
That's a nice touch. Any stories from those early residents?
They shared a great anecdote from Jean Valiquette, one of the originals. He and his wife, Huguette, were just driving by. I saw the Del Webb sign. He'd only read about the concept, this active adult community idea. But he was so sold on it, he apparently decided right then and there, walked into the sales trailer, confirmed it was Del Webb, and bought immediately.
Just like that, based on the concept.
That's what he said. He credited the adults-only aspect and the promise of all the clubs and activities. He called it a playground for adults. That belief, that vision from those first 100 families really set the foundation for everything we see today. The Barrel Landing Club members are like living history reminders of that original promise.
That's a powerful connection for the 30th anniversary. From that initial leap of faith to this huge festival week.
Exactly. It frames the whole celebration.
Okay, so we've covered the big October festival week.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunsations is already pushing people to think about November, right? Especially for ticketed events.
Yeah, they definitely are. The popular stuff sells out fast, and capacity limits, especially at places like River Bend, are no joke. So getting tickets early is smart. These are available online or at Lifestyle Services.
All right, let's run through what's coming up in November that needs a ticket.
First off, Gin and Jazz. That features the Levon and Louise Quartet. It's on Tuesday, November 4th, 7 p.m. at Pinckney Hall. Tickets are $18. Doors and the cash bar open at 6 p.m., and the capacity there is noted as 256.
Okay, Gin and Jazz, what's next?
A real Lowcountry classic, the Lowcountry Boil. This one's Wednesday, November 5th, 5:30 p.m. at Riverbend. Catering is by SERG, which is always popular, and live music from Jonathan David King.
Riverbend. That's a smaller venue, isn't it? Any restrictions on tickets for that?
Yes, big ones. Tickets are $45, and it's a strict limit. 4 tickets per household, max. And you're right about the venue. Capacity is tiny, only 84 people. This one will go fast. If you want in, you need to jump on it. Doors open at 5 p.m., cash bar, and they explicitly state no outside food or beverages.
4 tickets max, $45 each, only 84 spots.
Got it. High priority alert for that one. Okay, what else?
Well, this next one is so popular they've booked it for 3 nights, the JT Experience, a tribute to James Taylor. It's running Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, November 12th, 13th, and 14th. All shows are at 7 p.m. in Magnolia Hall.
3 nights. That shows demand. Who's performing? A singer named James Gedeon. The magazine mentions he's open for comedians like Jay Leno and bands like America. He's promising really intimate versions of the James Taylor hits, you know? Something in the way she moves, Carolina, in my mind. Trying to capture how they sounded when first written.
Sounds nice. Tickets for that.
Tickets are $35, also a limit of 4 per household. Magnolia Hall is bigger, obviously, but still, good to get them early. Doors open at 6 p.m. for those shows.
Okay. James Taylor tribute for 3 nights. Anything else ticketed in November?
One more, catering to a different taste. Funny Business Uncensored, featuring comedian Brian Scolaro. That's later in the month, Monday, November 24th. 2 shows, 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m., both at Pinckney Hall.
Uncensored. They used to put a warning on those, right?
They do, and it's prominent here. Explicitly says, uncensored content featuring adult material. So, attendees should know what they're signing up for. Tickets are $15 for those shows.
Good to have the warning.
Okay.
Okay, that covers November tickets.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of huge free club events back in October we should mention.
Oh, absolutely. 2 massive annual showcases. First, the 25th annual Sun City Car Club Car Show. That's Saturday, October 25th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Takes over the whole Magnolia Hall parking lot, free to come and look.
25th year. That's impressive. What's the scale like?
Huge. They expect over 125 resident-owned vehicles, classics, new cars, imports, domestics, trucks, you name it. The club itself has over 400 members, apparently did 82 driving events last year alone. It's a very active group.
Wow. And attendees get to vote.
Yep. People's Choice Award voting happens from 10 a.m. till noon. Plus, there's food available, sponsor tents, and importantly, a charity raffle. The club uses this event to raise money for Meals on Wheels for Sun City residents. So it's fun, but also supports a great cause within the community.
That's fantastic. Cars and community support. Great combo.
And speaking of community support, the Car Club actually gets its trophies from another major club.
Ah, the Woodworkers Guild.
Exactly. The Woodworkers and Model Makers Guild. And they have their 25th annual event coming up soon after the car show. It's their Open House and Artisan Festival. That's on Saturday, November 8th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Pinckney Hall Ballroom.
Another free event. What can people expect there?
Yep, free admission. It's a big deal for them, celebrating 25 years since they started in 1999. They'll have displays of woodworking tools and machinery, a silent auction, door prizes, and importantly for holiday shoppers, they'll be selling items made by guild members. Perfect timing for gifts.
Woodworking, model making? Sounds like incredible craftsmanship.
Definitely. And they're looking ahead, too. The magazine mentions the guild is already working on plans to expand their wood shop, maybe at a modern makerspace area. So respecting tradition, but also innovating.
That's great to hear. Okay, so 2 big free club events to check out. Car Show, October 25th, Woodworkers, November 8th. All right, let's shift to some of the people highlighted in this issue. Sunstations always features interesting residents. Who stood out this month? Let's start with the artist, Valerie Kramer.
Right, Valerie Kramer. She's a retired fine arts professor, been in Sun City about 6 years. She used to work mainly in oils, but now she's doing really complex mixed media. Sounds like she draws a lot of inspiration from stained glass and also just a Lowcountry environment.
And she had a recent show.
Yes, at the Art League of Hilton Head. The exhibition was called Icons and Tidal Pools. And the work sounds quite philosophical. The magazine says her latest series is really a commentary on hitting middle age, using figures with headdresses to symbolize wisdom, but also described as painfully honest, asking viewers to think about the finiteness of our lives.
Wow, that sounds intense. not just pretty pictures. A real shift from academic work to personal expression.
Seems like it. A great example of how people reinvent themselves creatively in retirement.
Definitely. Now, moving from visual arts to words, author Brian Thieme is featured.
Yes, and he's headlining the next Meet the Author event. That's Friday, November 21st, 6 p.m. at Pinckney Hall, and it's free for everyone.
Brian Thieme. Mm-hmm. His background is pretty striking, isn't it? Law enforcement.
Extremely striking. 25 years with Oakland PD, retired as a lieutenant commander, commanded the SWAT team. Plus, he served a year in Iraq with the Army, retired as a lieutenant colonel. A very, very intense first career.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And he only started writing fiction after all that.
That's right. Went back to study creative writing, landed a book deal. His first series, the Dett Matt Sinclair books, were apparently pretty gritty, set in Oakland, drawing on his police experiences. But what's interesting now is his new series. It's called The Mudflats Murder Club, and it's set right here in the Lowcountry, well, a fictional local barrier island called Spartina.
Ah, a Lowcountry setting. And is the tone different?
He says so. The new main character, retired Detective Sean Tanner, is described as gentler, more mature. Thieme's quote is, Tanner is a bit grumpy, he's better looking, smarter, a lot more stable than his earlier protagonist.
Huh. That sounds like quite a shift. From gritty Oakland SWAT commander to writing about a grumpy but stable Lowcountry detective. Kind of mirrors his own life transition, maybe.
You could definitely read it that way. Embracing the local setting and maybe a different pace of storytelling should be a fascinating meet the author session.
Agreed. And one more feature. This one's just pure fun. The Best in Show winner from the Pet Club's Halloween show.
Yes. A dog named Jack, adopted by residents Terry and Pat Meehan. Jack was a shelter dog, came from a Savannah facility via Rascals Rescue here. And Jack won Best in Show dressed as Batman.
Batman. That's brilliant. A rescue dog winning Best in Show is Batman? You can't make this stuff up.
Proves it's all about personality, right? And maybe a good costume. A great, heartwarming little story.
Absolutely. Okay, shifting from the features to some really crucial reminders, safety, preparedness stuff.
Yeah.
Hurricane season.
Still ongoing. Runs through November 30th. And the magazine makes a point. October can still be a very active month for storms historically. No time to get complacent.
Right. So the advice is,
go to the community website. Find the hurricane awareness page. Seriously, use it. It has the preparedness guide, the evacuation map, FAQs, even that award-winning hurricane education video series the community produced. It's all there. Review it now.
Good advice. Don't wait for a storm warning. What about day-to-day security?
Standard reminders, but always necessary. Lock your cars, lock your house doors, lock your garage. Securitas emphasizes this constantly. And if you see anything suspicious, anything at all, call Sun City Security directly. 843-705-4083. Don't hesitate.
And the monthly stats kind of back up why these reminders are needed, don't they?
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
The August report showed 901 calls for service, but get this. 101 incidents were just garage doors left open. Simple thing, big vulnerability. Plus 32 suspicious incidents reported and 117 moving violations, mostly stop signs and speeding. So vigilance is needed both for security and traffic safety inside the community.
Yeah. What about emergency alerts, power outages?
For weather alerts, sign up for Everbridge or Nixle. Just text your zip code to 888-777, it's easy, and gives you another layer of immediate information. Power outages, report them directly to Palmetto Electric. Their number is 1-866-445-5551. Security can't fix the power lines. You have to call the utility.
Good distinction. And one last specific reminder as October wraps up.
Halloween decorations. Keep them in good taste. Don't put them up more than 10 days before and take them down within 5 days after. Standard community rule.
Got it. Finally, the magazine summarizes all the ways the Associated communicates. It's quite a list.
It is. Obviously, there's Sunsations itself, print and online. The website, www.suncityhiltonhead.org, is the main hub. Documents, tickets, directory, everything. You can sign up for e-newsletters through your account on the website. There's Instagram at suncityhiltonhead, a video library, digital signs around the community. And if you want to get more involved yourself, look at the volunteer opportunities for board-appointed committees, the BACs. Apply online via the Get Involved tile.
Lots of ways to stay plugged in. And just a couple of quick Lowcountry living tips to finish.
Yeah. Brightview Landscaping suggests good fall colors for planting now. Pansies, mums, ornamental kale are good choices for this area. And the perennial safety reminder for sharing the roads, walkers, face the traffic. Cyclists, you owe traffic, obey all the laws, stop sign signals, just like a car.
Always good reminders. Okay, that covers a lot of ground from the October issue. Hashtag tag outro.
It really does. You know, stepping back, the thing that strikes me most about this October deep dive is that real duality. The magazine is split almost perfectly between, on one hand, really serious civic responsibility, all those election deadlines, vetting candidates, and on the other hand, pure, full-on community celebration with life under the sun. It really shows that being part of this community means engaging on both levels.
That's a great point. Governance and lifestyle totally intertwined. We've covered everything from the different strategic visions of the BOD candidates and those hard deadlines for NR applications, all the way to the three nights of James Taylor tickets and the critical need to act fast for that low country boil. So the clear advice is use the website www.suncityhiltonhead.org. Now, double check the print magazine if you need to. Buy those tickets for November, especially the limited ones, and get fully informed before you vote.
Absolutely. And maybe one last thought to leave people with, circling back to that story about the Bear Landing Club. What does it really signify when a community has that kind of living history walking around? Those first 100 homeowners, they took a massive leap of faith 30 years ago, didn't they? Believing in this Del Webb idea of an active, self-run retirement community enough to buy in when it was just getting started, they literally built this place with their commitment.
Yeah, that initial belief, that energy. It feels like it's still the engine driving things today.
Mm-hmm.
That same spirit seems connected to why the October schedule is so packed, why people step up to run for NR, why there's so much election interest, why 90-plus clubs thrive. It's like a continuation of that 30-year-old promise.
Exactly. So maybe the takeaway is to think about your own part in that ongoing story shaping the next 30 years, whether that means, you know, putting in an application to be an NR or really studying the BOD candidates before you vote or even just diving into one of those clubs you saw at the fair. Your participation, your active involvement, it isn't just, well, nice to have. It's genuinely what keeps the Sun City vision vital and evolving for everyone who comes next.